Hey gang, welcome. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org. That's the place you go. You know what to do. Today would be Financial Filbert Friday, except on Thursday night I had car trouble and did not get to our, I did not get home at our appointed time and did not record the show. So we will have a call-in show today, and it is the same old regular call-in number that you will find at republicbroadcasting.org. We'll give it out in just a second. I'm going to do the Zia Watts News Roundup because that's fun, and that I do on my own anyway. The call-in number, 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. All right, so before we get into the other stuff, let's start with the Zia Watts News Roundup brought to you by Koshertified. It's the app that helps you keep kosher, helps you not keep kosher. It's up to you. I use it to not keep kosher. You use it, who knows? Okay. It's fun. It's $2.99. Can't beat that. Can't beat that. I can get it wholesale for you. Well, actually, I can't. All right, first headline. American Israeli man convicted for JCC bomb threats. A 19-year-old American Israeli man was convicted of making hundreds of bomb threats to Jewish community centers and Jewish schools in the United States, as well as airlines. Michael Kedar, who holds dual U.S.-Israeli citizenship, my parenthetical note, dual American-Israeli citizenship, is that even a thing? Yes, it's a thing. And whose name is barred from publication in Israel, was convicted Thursday in Tel Aviv District Court on several counts, including extortion, conspiracy to commit a crime, money laundering, and assaulting a police officer. Reuters reported that the conviction was based partly on Kadar's confession. The judge said Kedar was competent to stand trial and understood that his actions were improper, despite the claims by defense psychologists that he is autistic and incompetent. Okay, so just a little analysis of this. If you don't remember, shortly after President Trump was inaugurated, you had, you had this spike in hate crimes, in particular, a bunch of telephone threats to JCCs and Jewish schools. Now, apparently, a couple of those were conducted by some black guy who I guess was mad at his ex-girlfriend, who was like a white liberal and wanted to get her in trouble with her friends by making her seem like an anti-Semite. So he called in these bomb threats to a couple of places in a way that it would get be tied to her. But the rest was this guy in Israel. And is his father involved? Who knows? I mean, he had a whole lot of equipment, a lot of telecommunications equipment, more than you would expect a autistic 18-year-old kid to have. The thing is that when you hear the Southern Poverty Law Center and the ADL talk about the spike in hate crimes, anti-Semitic hate crimes, since Donald Trump was elected, this is what they're talking about, a hoax. Okay, they didn't go back and correct this. All right, next story. Syria censures U.S. financial support to white helmets. Syria has strongly denounced a recent decision by the administration of U.S. President Donald Trump to resume financial support for the so-called civil defense group White Helmets, which has been blamed for staging suspected chemical attacks in the Arab country. The Syrian Foreign Ministry said in a statement on Sunday that the additional financial support was a clear piece of evidence that Washington has been playing a leading role in supporting anti-Syria militants since 2011. The Syrian Arab Republic condemns the recent U.S. decision to provide $6.6 million in financial aid to the White Helmets terrorist organization, the Syrian Foreign Ministry statement read. Washington's attempts to embolden the White Helmets have shamelessly exposed its relationship to the terrorist organization, the statement added. Elsewhere in the statement, the ministry blamed the United States as well as its Western allies for using the organization to practice terrorism, particularly in alleged chemical attacks that were staged to tarnish the image of the Syrian government and prolong the conflict. White Helmets are part of the Al-Qaeda-linked Nusra Front, the statement said. That's interesting. I didn't know that. The White Helmets were alleged by the doctor who was filmed in the this medical processing room, some medical clinic, back in April. If you recall the last time President Trump bombed Syria, it was after kids had water poured over their heads in a room, which is, yes, it is a war crime to pour water over a child's head in a room. But it was the White Helmets were alleged by the doctor who had been photographed in the room where the said water pouring over child's heads was taking place. He said that the White Helmets had orchestrated that, and it's entirely believable. Next story. Iraq's prime minister meets with Muqtada al-Sadr. Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi, whose political bloc took third place in the May parliamentary election, has met with cleric Muqtada al-Sadr, whose party won the election. Abadi and Sadr met in the holy city of Najaf on Saturday, according to Abadi's office. It was the first meeting between the pair since Sadr and head of the country's Badr organization, Hadi al-Amiri, who won second place in the elections, announced a political alliance between their parties. Sadr's Syrian bloc won 54 out of 329 seats in the Iraqi parliament. The Fatah alliance, led by Badr organization Secretary General Hadi al-Amiri and Abadi's Nasser coalition, finished second and third with 47 and 42 seats, respectively. On Thursday, Iraq's top court upheld a law mandating a nationwide manual recount of all ballots from last month's parliamentary elections. What was significant about the elections, of course, is it put this Ayatollah Muqtada al-Sadr, a young cleric. Well, he used to be young. I don't know if he's still young. He had been very high profile during the height of the Iraq War, and he's somebody who is has close ties to Iran, and so now he is the I guess you would call him the kingmaker in the Iraqi parliament. So that's very odd, or very, very interesting. Okay, let's do one or two more. New Jersey town to pay $1.5 million to Jewish employee in settlement of anti-Semitic harassment suit. A New Jersey township is settling with a former employee for $1.25 million over allegations he repeatedly was faced with anti-Semitic harassment from other workers. On Saturday, the Township Committee of Wall agreed to settle with Brandon Jacobs, a former employee in the Shore Communities Public Works and Tax Collector's Office, the Asbury Park Press reported. Jacobs, who retired in 2016 on disability, sued the township in 2015, claiming that he faced anti-Semitic harassment from colleagues on a near daily basis. Can you imagine in New Jersey in the current year that there would be anti-Semitism? Well, I'll leave you all to ponder that. And the last story, the new Jewish agency head walks back comments calling intermarriage a plague. The new chairman of the Jewish Agency for Israel said his remarks comparing intermarriage to a plague had been misunderstood. On Sunday, Isaac Herzog had used the Hebrew word for plague to describe marriages in the diaspora between Jews and those of other faiths, and said there must be a solution to the issue. But in an interview Wednesday with The Forward, Herzog said he was using it as a slang word and didn't mean it in any negative terms. Now, of course, I mean, a plague would not be negative. Who would misconstrue the word plague as something negative? Notice that he was talking about marriages in the diaspora between Jews and those of other faiths. Why was he talking about marriages in the diaspora as opposed to marriages in Israel? Well, because such marriages are illegal in Israel. They don't take place in the first place. They are impossible. So, problem solved there, but not in the diaspora. Oh, one last one. Okay, Ivanka, not my favorite Trump, by the way. Ivanka Trump gave $50,000 to help migrant kids, Texas church says. A church said that Ivanka Trump donated $50,000 to its campaign to help migrant children separated from their families along the border. Last week, Ivanka Trump reached out to the Prestonwood Baptist Church in Plano, Texas, after hearing about his efforts to help kids separated at the border. Through a tweet by its pastor, Jack Graham, the church said in a statement, "We, at Prestonwood, are currently working to provide solutions to care for children during this terrible immigration crisis. Our Espanol ministry, led by Gilberto Corredera, is stepping up to the challenge to express the love of Jesus. We are brokenhearted and determined to act." Okay, so that's Princess Shiksa, and she is giving money to the virtue signal, basically, against her father. Well, isn't that true? Cute. Why don't her and Jared get sent back to 666? What is it? 666 Fifth Avenue? 666 Park Avenue? It's one of those. Okay, well, that concludes this week's ZioWatch News Roundup. It was a kind of an expanded version. I hope you all like it. Well, one thing I wanted to talk about a little bit today, sticking with the theme of markets and economics and finance, and if you want to call, you can call up about anything, but is the issue of energy, and in particular, energy, electricity, as it relates to blockchain, to Bitcoin. And I've seen articles that the blockchain is already using more electricity than the entire nation of Argentina. I find that hard to believe, but what do I know? There is certainly a huge amount of electricity that is consumed by the blockchain. And I've seen all sorts of stories about, for instance, in Northern New York State, Bitcoin farms popping up. In Northern New York State, close to the border with Quebec, there's very cheap electricity. There are some communities that are on the Canadian grid, I believe, and they have very cheap electricity coming from the company, I believe it's called Hydro-Quebec. Quebec has immense hydroelectric power, and so electricity there is cheap. Well, where do you have really, really cheap electricity? I guess you used to have in Venezuela, I guess. I don't know if things are popping up there, but that is because it's subsidized by a government that doesn't necessarily always make the best economic decisions and does have a lot of oil at its disposal. But probably the place with the biggest surplus of electric generation potential is Iceland. Iceland is a volcanic island, and it has massive geothermal potential. And here's the thing about geothermal is you can't really export it. You can use it to produce electricity, and if you were on a grid, then you could send the electricity off on its merry way. Iceland is in the middle of the North Atlantic, and as far as I know, there's no grid between Iceland and wherever else. So what do you do with all that electricity potential? Electricity is not easy to export. You know, you have to be on a grid. So in places where there is cheap electricity, you find industries popping up that require electricity and can be exported. I know that in, I believe it's Western Australia, which has like a lot of coal, it's got a lot of cheap energy. They do a lot of aluminum smelting. Aluminum smelting requires a lot of electricity. You're turning bauxite into aluminum. I mean, bauxite's everywhere. It's pretty available, pretty cheap. What goes into aluminum that makes it expensive is not the bauxite, it's the electricity used to smelt it. And so, you know, I know there's some aluminum smelting capability in Iceland, but, you know, you still have to build these big plants. There's a lot involved, and you have to import all the bauxite and export the aluminum. Blockchain seems like it's perfect for Iceland. And I know there's a lot going on there in Iceland. So I bring it up because Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, you have this issue. Are they investments or speculation? And I'm on the side that it's just pure speculation. They are a currency. I mean, to bet on a currency one way or the other, as far as I'm concerned, it's not an investment. It's a speculation. Now, I do think that cryptocurrencies are going to play a larger and larger role in the future. Is it going to be Bitcoin? Because for all we know, Bitcoin is going to be the MySpace of cryptocurrencies, the one that everybody, you know, learned about. Oh, that's what it is. But is it going to be the one that really succeeds? There are other cryptocurrencies that are more anonymous. So it may not be the one that succeeds. But the fact is, all of the cryptocurrencies use this blockchain technology. The blockchain is very energy intensive. But the services, okay, this can be done anywhere. And it is connected to the internet. Iceland's connected to the internet. And so Iceland has the potential and is really already on its way to being a major player, if not the major player, in the blockchain. Well, so I think the music should be playing. And if it's not, it's going to... I'll continue this discussion after we get back from the break. Are we going to break? Well, if we haven't gone to break, I'm just going to keep talking because we don't want blank. We'll be right back.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Okay, are we back? Okay, we are back. We are back. And to finish that off with Iceland. So one way, if you're excited about cryptocurrencies, but you don't know which one's going to go, you might want to look into an Icelandic-based investment such as a ETF, exchange-traded fund. And with that, let's go to Mike from Kentucky. Mike, welcome to the show. Hello, Mike. Okay, I'm not hearing Mike.
Hello, I can hear you.
All right, how are you doing, Mike?
Okay, going back a couple of stories, there was, you were mentioning this, New Jersey anti-Semitism, and I don't know, you sounded a little bit like you didn't believe it was going on. I ran across a collection of stories a number of years ago in a book called Hate Crime Hoaxes by Laird Wilcox, and then most recently I read a web page that detailed some of the history of the problems with population collapse in Israel and how they started back in the 70s trying to protect their demographics because they were having problems with the next generation of Israelis leaving and going to America or some other country, and they were having trouble maintaining a majority in their, quote, democracy over there. So this, I think it was the True Torah Jews webpage that had this whole rundown about some of the programs that they've had going to actually make Jewish people as uncomfortable as they could in many different countries, and basically trying to force Israelis to make or Jewish people to make Aliyah, even if they're not Zionists. You know, try to get them to convince to move there. Of course, you've got this Rabbi Eckstein going around, or whatever his name is. He's begging for money to get these poor Russian Jews back to Israel and all this stuff, so they can die in their homeland and all this stuff. So I think there probably is a lot of hoax or hate crimes going on against Jewish people, or pressure being put on them, for lack of a better word. You know, the called Nir Dramaf they have an existential threat to their democracy by not maintaining a majority of Jewish people in the country.
Yeah.
So that's been going on for decades.
So, because we usually think of these hoaxes as being primarily to perpetuate the idea of Jewish victimhood, this to put Jews at the top of the victimhood totem pole, but of course, what you're pointing out is that by making the Jews believe that they're really under attack from anti-Semites, well, then they're going to want to seek refuge in Israel, and there is this, you know, there's this demographic struggle between the Jews in Israel and the Palestinians. It's one aspect.
Well, and they have non-Jewish citizens of Israel too. There's all these Russians that have went down there that aren't even not even ethnic Jews, and they're all through the tech sector is dominated by them. So that makes me wonder how much of a hoax some of this stuff is about Russian hacking and Russians trying to manipulate the elections now.
Well, do you remember President Putin said when he was confronted with these 15 individuals who'd been indicted in the Mueller probe, he said, "Yeah, are these Russians? Are these dual nationals? Are these Jews?"
Yeah, and like the favorite boogeyman a lot of times to beat up on is China. And China, you know, they're the ones that hacked 50 terabytes out of the Lockheed Martin Marietta Joint Strike Fighter program, you know, but even Ed Snowden, who somehow has ended up in under the protection of Russia, he was the one that leaked that it wasn't 5 terabytes of stuff that was leaked out of Lockheed. It was 50 terabytes, you know. So, there's that, you know, anytime you get into this intrigue of espionage, it seems like there's always a multiple layer of what the heck is going on. And I think they do that on purpose to try to keep you confused. More often than not, it's just the generally dumb public that they're trying to keep confused, because in the upper reaches of these communities, they probably know exactly who stole the data. And China, of course, denies that they were the ones that did it. But I'm just using that as one example. But the Russians. They're all spying on each other all the time anyway. But the cover story, or the really credibility of the Democratic National Committee emails being hacked by the Russians, it's almost like sometimes they set stuff up to fail. William Binney, of course, came out and said, no.
Okay, Mike, we've got to go to break, but if you want to hang on, you're welcome.
Okay, sure. Got to pay the freight, I know.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech. Quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Back to the show. Welcome back to National Bugle Radio on what would be Financial Filbert Friday. We'll have that back next week. But we do have Mike from Kentucky, and we're talking about hoaxerism, Jewish hoaxerism. And you were saying, Mike?
Well, I just recently found out, I guess I didn't realize it, the big, huge connections between Israel and Russia as far as the tech sector. You know, we've got some of these whistleblowers that have come forward that claim to be, you know, ex-CIA or ex-Army PSYOP guys, and some of the stuff. You can try to, you know, determine the credibility or what they may actually be up to yourself on this. But, you know, the Talpiup program and Unit 8200 and the projects, long-range projects, to dominate the tech sector by the Israelis, I think could include all kinds of technocratic harassment for both, you know, anybody that they see as an enemy of the Jewish state, or those that they're trying to drive to go aliyah and emigrate to Israel, because apparently they are bleeding people, and the Israelis are not breeding with each other. I think you mentioned that earlier. There was a rabbi that said it was what is it called? Intermarriage. Which they mean misogynation, yeah. Is what they mean, you know, marrying outside the tribe, you know, go not unto the strange woman, as the Bible calls it. But yeah, they're having problems with that, maintaining their demographics, and desperate people do desperate things, so it's hard to know what all they're out there doing trying to maintain their demographics and their population. I did see some interview with a rabbi who said that sort of thing, that it's part of a video with that that woman named Spector, talks about
Barbara Lerner
Spector. Yeah, right. Europe is going into a multicultural mode and all this crap. They're trying to make the Jewish people in Europe as uncomfortable as possible.
Her sister was the head of, I guess, what is it, her name, Laura Lerner or something. She was the head of the Securities Exchange Commission, I believe.
Well, in a chopped up video I saw with that Barbara Spector, you know, making her comments about the multicultural mode, I saw these video of his imams screaming like Hitler and showing the population of Europe and even America, North America, becoming black, you know, with, I guess, Muslims, and talking about because, you know, Spain and France and a lot of these developed countries' populations are collapsing. United States is at a 109-year low fertility rate. It was just reported about a month ago, and
the low fertility is skewed towards the white population.
And there's chemical warfare going on from Northern California all the way across the Bible Belt, the breadbasket, and kind of loops up into Western New York, across Pennsylvania, Kentucky. The pillbillies, they're commonly called. It's not just pillbillies here in Appalachia. They're all over. They're doing chemical warfare on the next generation, causing genetic deletion. If you look at the heat maps of the number of overdose deaths from the synthetic heroin, it's right across, white America and the Bible Belt is where the hottest areas for this.
It certainly is. It certainly
and,
is.
So and, you know, there's a 1-2 punches here that they're hitting us with.
And this mirrors what happened in Russia in the 1990s, where you had basically a complete Jewish takeover using Boris Yeltsin as a puppet. But, the oligarchs and the foreign advisors like Lawrence Summers and Jeffrey Sachs, these foreign advisors who went over, and then the foreign financiers like George Soros, they took control of the country. And
well, they staged, I believe, Ronald Reagan had an Operation Stillwell to financially destabilize the Soviet ruble, and that involved a guy named Leo Wonta, who was doing these massive currency swaps. He has a little bit of proof of that, but they accumulated huge amounts of money that in some cases belongs to the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania or the Commonwealth of Virginia, trillions of dollars that needs to be repatriated. But it's being used by the intelligence community to do all kinds of nefarious stuff. And, of course, we cannot trust these. There's no network security. I just saw a story that I shared a year ago about these fly traps from the Cherry Blossom software that was put into all the Wi-Fi routers going back, and the giveaway or the tell on how rigged up this was that within less than, 8 or 10 days, Linksys rolled out all the firmware to fix this stuff. I think it was leaked on, June the 29th. The WikiLeaks or whatever came out that all these Wi-Fi routers were compromised. And so we're supposed to believe that all the nerds went to work in Mom's basement and wrote all the software within 8 or 9 days or something to roll out and be posted on the Linksys website to update the firmware, even going back to 2007, for routers that Linksys no longer even supported. They think we're this stupid. But what they had done was they turned these things into fly traps where they compromised any device that handshaked to that. And then little Jimmy down at the coffee shop goes and logs onto his Facebook, then he comes home and brings a contagion home to the network at home, or he goes to work, and now it's in the hospitals.
I am that stupid. It's a little bit above me, but certainly these viruses do replicate, and they infect. They can spread really fast.
It's called fly trap, and it started in 1979. The Israelis had a project to dominate the technology sector called Talpiot, and they used an army unit called Unit 8200. There's a guy out of Western Australia that did the work to uncover a lot of this stuff in the last couple of years. He's now in exile in Kuala Lumpur, I think, somewhere where he can't be extradited.
There's a couple of things I want to go back to, what I was saying about Russia, it mirrors the American situation in that during that decade of complete Jewish rule, you had a massive the life expectancy of Russian men plummeted by 8 years. It was, suicide. It was alcoholism, which is similar to here. Of course, we've got the fentanyl and all here as well. Other thing is regarding Israeli demographics, there's one other fold, one other crease in that demographic picture there is among the Jewish population. The segment of the Jewish population that's reproducing fast is the ultra-Orthodox. They're producing real fast, much faster than the non-Orthodox who probably aren't reproducing very much. And what this means is within, I guess already in Jerusalem, among school-age kids, the majority is ultra-Orthodox. Jerusalem's a pretty big hunk of Israel right there. The ultra-Orthodox men, they study all the time. They're exempt from the military, and of course, Israel is basically a military with a state. And so that's a problem. And then, of course, not only do they not go in the military, but they really don't work much. They study. They study the Torah and the Talmud. And, you know, they're heavily dependent on welfare. And so they're not particularly popular, even though they're Jewish. You know, they're often referred to as the blacks. Oh, the blacks are moving into the neighborhood because they wear black clothes.
What real practical good are they to society other than scholarly, you know, study? You know, so they're kind
of a dead. If you have a small number of them, they provide some sort of ideological basis, you know, some religious basis. But yeah, they're becoming
a dead weight.
Yeah,
they're like a burden or a dead weight because you got too many of them. I think that may have been part of what happened with the collapse of the temple back in 70 A.D. The money changers were skimming everything and became more of a burden on the temple than they made more money than the temple did by changing the money over. But you know, they turned my father's house into a den of thieves. So they have that problem, you know, with money being their security rather than Yahweh being their security, you know. But you know, so yeah, I question a lot of their faith when they put their faith in money or mammon. Becomes real obvious that is what they find security in. And boy, you better not get in the way of that. You know, I mean that's cliche and it's racist or whatever. But you see that, and I see that with, you know, other people, other demographics besides Jewish people. But it does seem to be a common enough thing that it's become a cultural cliche with them. You know, don't get between them and their money. Even the comedians that I grew up seeing joke about it, Sid Caesar or whoever, you know, they'd make jokes about that generation of comedians and make jokes about Jewish people and their money. Don't get in between them and their money, you know. Like, don't get in between Jesse Jackson and a camera.
You're there in Kentucky.
Yeah.
And you're in Kentucky.
Right. And more or less.
Okay. And so what you're seeing with this opioid crisis, I mean, what is it doing to the communities that, you know, that you live in or you work in? What are you seeing?
Well, we're creating burdens instead of children that we can, you know, children are seen as arrows that you shoot into the future. And a lot, Pennsylvania has Kentucky beat with the number of addicted babies being born.
Really?
But, you know, there's grant money right now, I guess, to try to treat them. I just saw some big an announcement from University of Kentucky about a month ago. They got some new monies to try to do treatment on addicted mothers to try to prevent some of the damage, you know, that's happening. I guess there's weird disorders that are showing up, genetic deletion disorders. I don't know what all, but the point I'm being to make on this is that the reason it looks like chemical warfare, and I don't see why we haven't blown up the dang factories that's making this stuff, is because we've had several high-profile interdictions where they've caught something like a sport utility vehicle with enough doses in it, enough of this powder to kill, you know, 29 million Americans or something. That was in Kansas a few weeks ago, I think, or Oklahoma. And then another one down in Mexico, same thing. It was headed for the border.
So,
and that's chemical warfare.
What was captured in Kansas, did this come from Mexico, or was this manufactured in the United States?
I just saw the headline. I didn't catch all the details about it, but it was the largest seizure of this that had happened ever in the state. And I can't remember if it was Oklahoma or Kansas, but how is that not chemical warfare? I mean, you're talking about enough stuff that can kill, and they're finding this blotter paper. See, they can't. This stuff is so concentrated. How can they justify manufacturing that much? Because, you know, there's not that many veterinarians that need this for elephants and moose whatever large animal. It's a large animal tranquilizer. So maybe you need it for, you know, potentially for a mountain lion that you're going to do surgery on and try to rescue, some large animal. So why are they manufacturing this much? Mm-hmm. It reeks of chemical warfare. So if anything else that was going on like this, I mean, we're going over threatening to blow up Kim Jong-un. How come we're not threatening to blow up his factory that's making all this? It doesn't make any sense unless it's a billionaire buddy for the deep state Trump types, you know? I mean, that's what the heck?
Okay. Well, listen, Mike, I'm going to go to my next caller, but I really appreciate your call.
Yeah, thanks.
Nice talking to you. Okay, next we have Dan from Washington. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for taking the call.
So what's up, Dan?
I just listened to the last caller and this issue about maybe some Jews hoaxing anti-Semitism to drive Jews into Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to point out, if you read the book The Jewish State by Theodore Herzl,
mm-hmm.
It's kind of a must read. It's kind of a blueprint for for Zionism, basically. And he talks about how with Zionism, they'll use anti-Semites to build up pressure on the Jews in all these countries to force them into Israel. That's been part of the plan from the beginning. And I'm paraphrasing, but he talks about kind of like a beer keg, where when you have a keg of beer and you shake it up and it blows the cork out. Mm. And he says I'm paraphrasing, but he does talk about that. So that's definitely been part of the plan from the beginning.
Yeah. And you can think of David Ben-Gurion, his position during World War II. He was happy to have, let's just say happy to have England or United States refuse to let Jews emigrate to those countries. He made it very clear he would rather have, Jews, a lot of Jews die in chaos as long as the rest of the Jews would come to Israel. He wasn't interested in saving lives. He was interested in bringing Jews to Israel. And if that meant lots of other Jews died, so be it. And of course, you could look at the Holocaust also to some extent or another, it wasn't exactly what's written in the textbooks. And, you know, that again could be used to scare Jews and to go into Israel.
Yeah, those are great examples. I was thinking of the same thing. I think isn't Rothschild on record, too, is kind of saying he favors rejecting these boats of Jewish refugees, like what are they good for England for or something. And a lot of Zionists actually supported Hitler at the beginning. I don't know, you know, what happened there, but I could see it, you know, it makes sense. You know, you could see him funding some right-wing people, even people like us, except David Duke's approach kind of kills that because he talks about Palestinian rights and what they're doing to the Palestinians, so it kind of ruins that whole plan in a way. But they could have used us as an ally almost. But anyway, that was my main point, and I appreciate the show, and that's really all I had. It's a great book. I think anyone into this stuff should read that book. It's very short and very clear, you know?
So say the name of the book again. This is Theodore Herzl's book?
Yeah, The Jewish State by Theodore Herzl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it was written in like the late 1800s, and he maps out the whole Zionist plan right there.
Okay. So. We will be back after the break.
homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee.
National Truth Radio with Patrick Slattery and Chris from South Africa. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hi, Dr. Slattery.
Hello, what's on your mind today, Chris?
For months and years, actually, from the other station that you're on as well. But I heard you talk about Barbara Spector, Lerner Spector. And what she said, and can I read something short to you?
It's very similar
to what she said. It says, I think there's a resurgence of anti-pagan sentiments because at this point in time, Europe is learning to be monocultural again. We are going to be part of the throes of that transformation, which must take place. Europe is going to return to monolithic societies they once were. Pagans are going to be at the center of that. It's a huge transformation for Europe to make. They are returning to a monocultural mode, and pagans will be hated by Christians, Jews, and Muslims because of our leading role. This is from Vaj Pekernis, 100% pagan in mind, spirit, and body. That's just something that I thought about it immediately when I heard your host, the other person that phoned in earlier, or a guest, mentioned her, you know. So this is just an antithesis, so... racism, it's a good thing. We must be racist. Because if you're not a racist, then you want to destroy other races. If you for diversity, you're there to destroy the black race as well as the white race. But we should look at it. Anybody for diversity is out to destroy the black race, not just the white race. They use the white race as a cover with their diversity shouting. They want to destroy the blacks and the whites. And so, yes.
How are things going in South Africa, for instance, regarding the attack on the Boers?
Well, it's an attack on the whites. The Boers is a different thing. That is something 99% of people misunderstand. I've been on Spengola's radio station, Deanna Spengola. I've been on The Right Perspective. I've been on some other stations. Even the South African people from South Africa, Afrikaans-speaking people, who speak the same languages which I speak, which was actually a Boer language long, long ago. If you talk about Boer in South Africa, you should actually talk about agricultural people.
Right, the farmers.
Farmer, yes. Now, this is a misconception as well. Well, yes, I understand. But people outside there don't, because when you mention the word Boer, everybody thinks about the Boer people that had two wars against England, and they stole our country in 1899, 1902, the Second Boer War. The American president didn't want...
What's going on with the Boers is that they're very vulnerable because they're isolated in the countryside. Is that why they're so vulnerable?
The farmers are isolated, yes. The farmers are isolated, but most South Africans, like Americans, are actually, in my opinion, a bunch of idiots. Sorry, it's just putting it very harsh. But our people don't have... They don't want to think. They don't want to use the upstairs matter to think anymore, to reason. And this is a big crisis amongst white people worldwide. America has seen to it that South Africa came to a fall. America was part of it to see that the Boers came to a fall in 1919. Your president, I think it was Wilson, refused to see the Boer delegation that wanted their country back. They helped destroy South Africa. They forced us to destroy our atomic weapons, et cetera, a lot of things. So,
of course, you probably wouldn't want the atomic weapons to fall into the hands of
yes, I understand. I understand, but I don't think it's because of that. It's because they were scared that the Boers would get hold of them and take their country back.
So, yes. Well, hey, Chris.
Yeah, the music is the end.
Yeah, the show's ending, but I'd be happy to talk to you if you call back again sometime. Thank you very much for calling in. And that does it for this week, but tune in again next week for more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.